Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Mahilchas, Machalos Asuras, Perik Tesayin, Halacha Vav, Chapter 16, Law 6. We're talking about that although we have these general formulas of how much you need to nullify something, be it 1 into 60, 1 into 100, 1 into 200, we said there's certain categories that rabbinically are never nullified no matter how much. Part of that were things that leaven the mixture, other things that spice the mixture, and then something called the Davar Chashev, special things, and they listed seven types of food that are very special, that if they're mixed in, it doesn't get nullified. And then we also talked something about a Chaticha HaRa'uya L'Hiskabet, a piece that's significant size, that will be an honor for you to serve somebody, a good piece of meat, treif meat, mixed up into other pieces of meat, it doesn't get nullified even though there's 1,000 pieces of meat. So now we continue with this idea in Halacha Vav, this last idea. V'hu adin b'chaticha shel basar v'chalav. How about a piece of meat that's a mixture of meat and milk, and the milk's been absorbed into the meat, okay, and it is clearly not kosher, okay? Each one on its own was okay, but now that it's cooked, it is now usur because it's a piece of meat and milk together. So similarly, if you have a piece like that, a significant piece. Oh, or another case, it's going to be a little bit different here. Oshachulin shenishchatu bazar. Or if you take some non-kodesh animal and you shecht it in the azara, which you're not allowed to do, which we'll see is rabbinically not allowed. And that's what you have to be careful on this next clause here. Shereihem asurim midivrayim. That they are prohibited rabbinically. Now you think it means both things, but that's not so. Because meat and milk is biblically Torah, is biblically prohibited. But it's going on the chulin that shechted in the Azara, where that's rabbinically prohibited. Okay? Still, even though it's only rabbinic prohibition, they're still not nullified if it's a significant piece that one would be honored to serve. Okay? K'moshisbar behilcha shechita. I'm sorry. Shareihem asurim midivrayim. Bahanoah, can't have a noah from them rabbinically. The second thing, biblically for the first case of meat and milk, but rabbinically for the second case, shechting it in the Azara, as explained Hilcha Shechita. Still, osim b'chol shehem, they're going to, whatever amount, percentage is there, one piece in 10 million pieces. It's all usur. Until you remove that piece, that specific piece, that's usur, you have to remove it, it's never nullified. And of course, if it was cooked, then you'd have to also have 60 afterwards to nullify the taste. V'chein gid hanosha, similar to gid hanosha, the sciatic nerve, that whole gid, is also considered an important thing, a dover chashuv. Shinis bashal magidim, that's cooked with other sinews, oim abasar with meat. Bisman shemakir, when you can recognize that sciatic nerve, makbia, remove it, v'ashar mut, and everything is permitted. And why do you have to worry about anything? Because remember what we said, Shem Bagidim and El Saint Tom, the gid itself, not the fat of the gid, but the gid itself does not give any taste at all. So therefore, it's a Dover Chashev, it's important, significant, but if you remove it, then you're okay. If you made him like, well, you can't recognize it. You know it fell in, but you can't tell it out from the other sinews, then I call Usher. It's Usher. Now we get a new term, it's called a bria. It's like a living entity, a whole item. The sciatic nerve is an entire creation, as it were. And that becomes another definition of that makes it important, because it's the gid anosha. It's not just anything, it's the gid anosha. The osirba kosher, and any percentage will be prohibited. So again, if you can recognize that, you remove it. If you cannot, then the entire thing, no matter how much is there, is osir. Zion will discuss other definitions that make something significant. V'chein kol balechaim, and also any living creatures. Chashuvimem, they're considered significant. V'einim betem, and they will never be nullified no matter how much is there. For example, afikach, therefore, shoraniska, when an ox gores and it kills a human being, what's the halacha? That animal is destined to be, stoned. Now, that it is osur bahanoah, it's supposed to be stoned as soon as the judgment is made, even if it's alive and well and kicking. Let's say for some reason that Sharm Yisrael slipped into a herd of 50,000 oxen that all looked the same. She deserved the Elif Shvarim. It got mixed up in 1,000 oxen. It will be Osir. All of them will be Osir Ba'ana because it's a living entity. A living entity cannot be nullified. That's a Bria as well. Or the Egla Arufa the Elif Agolas. Or an Egla Rufa, that is, if you find a person dead between two cities, you have to bring a calf, which you break its neck in the valley. So here I assume you've broken the neck already. You've broken its neck. I guess it got mixed up with 1,000 other calves whose necks were broken.
You just designated
it. I don't know if designating it alone makes it usher. Does your commentary add to it?
I don't know. In the English it says whose neck is to be broken.
Oh, is
it?
Okay.
It seems to imply
then maybe if you've designated it's already usher.
I mean, if his neck was broken, you could tell which one it is.
Well, let's say it got mixed up with 1,000 that his necks were broken. But
the
then you're right.
Neck wouldn't be broken.
It would be probably unusual. So let's say it's designated. So we'll have to say that at that point it's already usher once it's designated. I guess maybe once the rabbis put their hands on the animal, did smicha, and did the whole avoida with it, then at that point it probably becomes also, then it ran away and got mixed up with a bunch of other calves. Otsipur mitzora hashtuta, or the bird, when a mitzora has to be purified, he brings two birds. One is slaughtered, and the second one is sent out to go free. The slaughtered one is usur bahano. And there it gets mixed up, elef tzipur gets mixed up with 1,000 birds. Over here, there's slaughtered birds. Does it say it's supposed to be or it is slaughtered?
Selected.
Also selected. Okay. So it seems that once it's selected, and I guess you did whatever you do with that before you selected, it also gets mixed up. O Peter Chamor. Or let's say you have a mule, the firstborn mule is, to its mother, is prohibited. Now, of course, it's gotta be, you can't give it to the Kohen. It's gotta be redeemed. But it has not yet been redeemed. Right? So it gets mixed up with a bunch of other donkeys. So now, Be'el of Chamor, it's mixed up with 1,000 donkeys. Kulam Asur Manor, they're all Asur Bahana, because they're all living creatures. Aval Shar Devarim, but any other thing that we have not mentioned. Aval Fisha Darkam Limonos, even though it is usual to sell them by counting them, but not by weight, and usually that's a good indicator, that's an important thing, but the ones that have not been listed, it will not be a problem. Hare Elu Ol Mishurim, they can be nullified with the amounts of 60, 100, or 200. So the general rule is, you see, by living animals, obviously, you sell animals by the piece. Donkeys, each donkey per donkey, not by the weight of the herd. So therefore, but other things that we count, we don't consider. And now the Gemara will give an example of that. Ches, Ketzad, what's an example of things that are not considered significant? Aguda Shel Yarek, what about a regular bunch of vegetables? A bunch of vegetables. So now, Mikile HaKerem, from Kile HaKerem, Shinis Arvu B'Masayim Agudas, it got mixed up in 200 other bunches. And that's the threshold level to nullify it. O Estrog Shel Orla Shinis Arvu B'Masayim Estrogim. Or one Estrog from Orla, from the first 3 years, that gets mixed up with another 200 Estrogim. Hakol Mutar, it's all allowed. V'chein Kol Kayotze B'Zeh, anything some of that is permitted. Test. The Rambam now advances after those halachas are really off from Gemara's. He gives his own idea over here. Yerli appears to me. Now remember, yesterday the Rambam listed from the Gemara 7 specific items. Remember the nuts from Perech, the pomegranates from Badan, sealed casks of wine, etc. He lists 7 specific things. So now he's going to go expanding on that. Let's say in a particular locale, this particular item is considered a significant item. It wasn't from the 7 the Gemara listed, but in this area it's a very significant item. Kamo, just like we've mentioned universally, we talked about the egoze perach v'rimana butan v'eretz yisrael bosom asmanim. In the days of yore, in Eretz Yisrael, the nuts from Perach and the pomegranates from Badan were considered important. So let's say anywhere else in the world where a specific product is considered very important and very valuable, So we'll say the same halacha. She'osir v'chol shehu, if they fall into another amount, no matter what the little percentage is, it prohibits the whole thing. Because in that place and in that time, it's considered important, and therefore it's not nullified. Why does the Gemara only mention those seven? Because they are prohibited no matter what amount in any place. But the truth will be the same for any specific item in a specific locale, period. Now, one last point. The fact that this is not nullified, and it's clear to me that when this thing falls, and it's a significant thing, and even you have 10,000 times not nullified, by what law is the entire mixture prohibited? Shekoli surna elu midivrehem. It's only rabbinic because you've really reached the biblical threshold that it should be nullified. But it's the rabbis who are adding this strictness. And therefore there'll be room to be lenient in the following case. Yud. So now let's say you've got this fancy, expensive, important pomegranate. So it falls into 1,000 pomegranates. So all 1,000 pomegranates are usher. But let's take it two more steps now. What happens now? You have the 1,000 pomegranates, and they're all usher, right? Let's say that falls, one of them goes out of this mixture and falls into another mixture. What's going to be the status with that mixture? And then we'll take one more step. And then one goes out of the second mixture and goes into a third mixture. What will be the law? So Rambam explains. If a pomegranate goes out of the first mixture where it's not been nullified rabbinically, and now it falls into another mixture of only two other pomegranates from Badan, but they're all Badan pomegranates. So what do we say? But we're not finished yet. V'nafal min ha-shlosha. Now from these three falls rimon echad l'rimon echem into a third group. What's the halacha for the third group? Harei elu acherim mitzurim. This last group is permitted. Why? Sharimon, sharei harimon shel taroves harishona. The fact of the matter is that pomegranate, the very first grouping, batal barov, really biblically should have been nullified with the majority. But it's only rabbinically we're saying it's prohibited no matter what the amount is. So therefore he says, Vimnafal minatarovas harishona rimon la'elef. So if falls out of the first mixture, will now fall into a second mixture. One of the pomegranates to 1,000. Kulmasur and still us. And lo nemo batabrov, when will we finally allow it to be nullified with a majority? Elahatar sveik sveik, only if it goes into a third group, third mixture, where it becomes a sveik sveik, a double dot. The double doubt is the one in the second mixture is if have a prohibited one or not, and it could be not, and one in the third it could be it's totally been permitted, nothing bad came at all, or maybe something is bad, so it's a double doubt. So whatever comes out, shim yipo minatarovas hashniel amakamacher, if from the second grouping mixture it falls into a third grouping, ain't also doesn't make it prohibited, but the second grouping itself would be prohibited, and anything similar to that. Now, Yud Aleph takes this idea of these important things and tells us that these important things are only non-nullified no matter how much if they are whole. But if they've been decimated, then they lose their significance. I guess the pomegranate of Badan is considered important when it's a whole beautiful looking pomegranate. What is it, chopped up into a million small pieces? It loses its significance. And all the seven cases that we said above, that they are significant, they're only if they are in their whole or pure pristine state. As he explains in Yud Aleph. Nispatsu et gozimelu. If these special nuts now become cracked and crushed and crumbled, shenesru kulam ipnei et goz orlev shenem, that it prohibited all of them because of the nut in there, but now they all got crunched up by accident. O nisporu, or they got split apart, or rimonim, those pomegranates that would be prohibited. Or v'nispatu echavios, or the barrels opened up. Or v'nischatu hadaluim, or those gourds got chopped up. Or when he sparso hakikaros, or the bread, the special homemade breads got crumbled up. Achash says, after they're prohibited. In other words, any one of these fell into a thousand, it's not nullified, but then all thousand got crushed or crumbled or opened or whatever, it just happened to happen. So we go back now and we go with the numbers that normally happen, and let's say you need 1 out of 200, that's enough to nullify it. Why? Because the significance has been lost. That's a nice finish. Because when it originally fell in, we said it's important, it doesn't get nullified. But even after, now the whole bunch is usher. But now for whatever reason, the weather or whatever damaged all of them, they lose the importance, and therefore it can now become re-nullified. And similarly, a piece of nevela, meat that was not shechted properly, and it died, and not got mixed up with a bunch of pieces, but shenidocha, that it now is also crushed with the other pieces of meat, bichlala chatichas included with the other pieces, v'nasa kol kamoshi, everything is the way it is, they're all crushed up, oil of ishishim, it can now be figured with 60, because 60 is the amount to nullify nevela. So now that you know this, wouldn't it be a nice idea that when this pomegranate falls in 1,000 pomegranates, to go put them all into a slicing machine to make them all permitted? Would you be able to do that lechatchila? And what's going to be the answer?
No, because once it's prohibited.
So what's the rule we said? Ein mevatlin isu lechatchila. You don't nullify. Just like we said, you can't add another increment to make it reach the level that it should be nullified. You can't destroy these to take away the chashivas. It's the same concept, and that's what Yud Beis is going to tell us. It's prohibited to crack open those nuts or to crumble up those pomegranates, or to open up the barrels after they were prohibited in order to make use of the old number of 1 of 200 or whatever to make it permitted. Because here's the rule. You cannot initially nullify these things. Even though this is only a rabbinic prohibition, still you're not allowed to do it. V'masakei, now what if you did it anyway intentionally? I don't care, I'm going to do it, and I hope it's going to work. What did we say? Kounsin also, we find the fellow, the ocean of love is prohibited for him, but what did we already say? For others, it would be permitted if they didn't know it was for them. Kamoshi Baron, it was already explained last time. Yud Gimel. Now, Seor shel kili akerem. Let's say yeast now, which you said is one of those enhancing things that will never be nullified even in 1,000. So seor shel kili akerem. So seor of this mixture of grapes and vegetables, or seor shel truma. Okay, so you've got, or, not or, and. You've got some of one and some of the other. You got some yeast of kili akerem, which is one type of prohibition, and yeast of truma. Now, who is kili hakerem usher to? Everybody. Nobody can have kili hakerem. Who is truma usher to? Non-kohanim. So be careful now. So we have, so for some people, both are usher. For some people, only one is usher. Got that? That's going to be the point over here. Now, shenaflu l'tocha isa. And it falls into a regular kosher dough that everybody could have eaten. Now, lo bazeh kidei lechametz, if you just looked at the yeast of the kili hakerem, it wouldn't have been enough to make leaven of the regular dough. The lo bazeh kidei lechametz, you don't have enough of the yeast of the truma alone to do it. But together, ubishneim kishisarfu, if you combine the two leavens together, yeshma kidei lechametz, is enough yeast amongst these two prohibited things to make the thing rise. So now, what do we say about this dough? Is it usher or not, and to whom? Says the Rambam, Osa Isa Asur Yisrael. This dough is usher to a Jew because both of the prohibitions were usher to a Jew. A Jew can't have Truman, a Jew cannot have Kili Akerem. But it is Umutaris Lekohanim. Wow. But it's mutter to a Kohen. Because only half of the yeast is usher going. That's an incredible halacha. So you're saying at the same time, this item, we combine the two to make it prohibited for Yisrael, while at the same time to a Kohen, you only have one measure of the yeast of the kili hakerem, which is to reckon with, but that is not enough to make it rise. Even though it's combining with something else when he writes, but the other combiner is not a problem for a Kohen. Similar concept regarding, we said, spices. If something's strong enough to spice something, it could never be nullified. So the same idea as well. V'chein tfalin shal truma v'shal kiliya karen. Spices of truma and again of kiliya karen. Shenavu docher there, they fall into a pot. And again, each one by itself isn't enough to spice the thing completely. V'lo ba'ech ma'em kidei l'tabel. But v'shneim, but together, kidei l'tabel. It is enough to make it so spicy. So osa kedera, this pot. Regarding a Jew, Asur li Yisrael, it's prohibited to a Jew because both of those things are prohibited for a Jew. Shrei davar aslahem, tibla umot, because it's now prohibited things that are making it spicy. But umotar sakohan is permitted to the Kohen because only kiliat kerem is usher to the Kohen. But truma is mutter to the Kohen. So the same concept regarding that. Okay, Yud Dalet and Tesvav, the Rambam is going to tell us a rule, which we're not going to understand, and then through the examples that he's going to give right afterwards, we're going to understand it. So we'll just be patient to have him explain the rules. Tvalim Shem Shnaim O Shlosha Shemus Menachad. Spices. Could have two or three spices. They have different names, but they're of the same type. Oh, or the opposite. Shlosha minim, three types, but mishem echad are the same name. Either way, mitzarfein latav, we combine them all to give us the amount to be considered. When you add all three together, it's enough to spice the entire remnant. We combine them together. And similarly, v'leser v'chein l'cham. It's also, if we're dealing with leaven, three different species and types, it'll work as well. Ketzah, so let's explain what we're talking about over here. So now he's explaining the second case first in this halacha, and in Tesvav we'll go to the first case last. So, or, let's deal with yeast. Yeast shel chitim. You've got prohibited yeast of wheat yeast. Usor shel se'arim. And then you have barley yeast. So that's two different types of yeast, so to speak. Two different names, but it's the same category, meaning it's yeast. It's two different types of yeast, but it's still yeast. Hurl v'shem sorach, but since it has a common name of yeast, einam kaminu k'einam in, we don't treat it like one species versus a different species. Now, the reyem kamin echad, they're considered like one species, whom it's starved, you can combine the two yeasts together, l'sharbem to calculate k'dei l'chametz v'isa in order to now say that it's leavening the dough, shalchitim, of other wheat. However, you need one important thing. You need to have much more wheat in the yeast wheat than the barley yeast so that the yeasts have the taste of wheat so it'll be similar to the wheat taste that's falling in or you're going to have imim b'ein amino. But it has to be, k'dei l'chametz b'yeast shalchitim, im hoya tam shtem tam chitim, they both have to have the taste of wheat. Or k'dei l'chametz b'yeast shalchitim, or the reverse, to leaven a dough of barley. To have the taste of barley. So there was a case of yeast, but with different types of yeast. Now we're going to switch things around in Tezvav. Shlosh Hashem's in Echad said, what about three names from one spice, species? Going, for example, karpas, different types of parsleys. Parsleys are spices. So karpas, you could have many types of parsley. Karpas shel naharos, parsley that's found by riverbeds. For karpas shel afar and parsley that's found in the meadows, for karpas shel gina and karpas that's found in a garden, even though it has its own type of name, it's not just a regular karpas, but it's a this kind of karpas, that kind of karpas. But since it's still one type, it's called karpas. We combine the three of them, that if it has enough spice in the three of them together, it will make it prohibited. But again, it's provided that all three of them have one of the main spice tastes mixed, and one is more overwhelming than the others, and it's mixed in with it, so one else is kind of different tastes at all. All right, let's do another one or two. We're flying along over here. It's still not even close to 10 o'clock. I got 4 minutes. Tezayin. Now, how about Isa Mukhubetses? So let's say you've got already a dough that's been yeasted. Alright? Shenafalatochal Saor Shel Truma O Saor Shel Hakerem. If now falling into that falls in a yeast of truma, or a yeast of kila hakerem, or v'chein kedera mitubelas, or a pot that's been spiced. And falls into them spices of truma, orla, or kila kerem. Now, here's the point over here. Im yesh basa'or kidei lechametz ilu hoysaha isamatz. Here's the point. Let me explain the idea over here. We said if leaven falls into something and it's enough to make the thing rise, it makes it usher. Spices fall into something, make enough to spice, it makes it usher. But what if the leavening ingredients are already into something that's been leavened already? In other words, the thing has already become chametz from beforehand, but it was kosher. Now, leavening agents of prohibited source come in and it's enough to make it leaven, but it's already been leavened. Or let's say the thing is spicy already, and now prohibited spices come in, so this what's going on over here. So what are we going to do? So he said like this, im yesh basor, if the prohibited amount of yeast that's coming into the yeasted main pot is kedei lechametz, would be enough to make it leavenize. Im hoisei samatzah, if the dough was not yeast, or ubat falim, or if the thing that is spicy enough, it's kidei letabel ater, there'd have been enough spice if it wasn't spicy. Ilo hoisei tefel was not a spicy thing. In other words, the point is it doesn't have to actually spice it. It doesn't have to actually leaven it. Even if the thing already is leavened, or is already spiced, but we look at it, what if it wasn't? And there's enough that falls in, hareha kol usur, everything is usur, even though it really hasn't done anything in this case. What if there's not enough that falls in to be able to accomplish that? Yalu bishurim, it will then have to not be calculated, and it gets combined and it's knocked out. But and what are the numbers? In other words, not enough to spice. We go with the old numbers. Truma be'echad umeya, truma is 1 in 100. Orla v'kila karen be'echad nosayim, 1 in 200. Okay, Shkaya, we'll stop over here. We did 11 halachas today.